But Chad and I were speaking together and came up with the thought that I would just share a few words with you, sort of a state of the church kind of thing. Those of you that are used to our state of the unions in our country, maybe view it that way. But more importantly, there is a pattern in the scriptures for the people of God to rehearse sometimes God's faithfulness. So we wanted to bring to you in this season just a reminder of God's faithfulness to us. It's not a good sign if I'm already tearing up. But the reason I bring this to you is because there have been so many of you that have joined within the last 6 months, but within the last year. And so occasionally we want to rehearse what God has done here on Todd's Lane. And so hopefully this will serve as a reminder of God's faithfulness to those of you who've been here for years. Those of you that have just joined us, hopefully a little history very quickly will be something that will be informative to you. And Angie, I will be able to give this to you as well. Thank you for taking our notes today. Grace Baptist Chapel, I believe, was founded in 1976. And our current building was completed. I have a newspaper clipping that one of our senior saints passed on to me. I believe it was from 1977 when the church had the grand opening of just this building that we are sitting in. But in 2013, I emailed one of our longtime members and leaders who's now with the Lord, John Mooring. Only a few of you will remember John. But I emailed him and I said, John, tell me about the history of the church, because I came here in 2008, but the church had been here 35 years before I got here or more. So could you tell me a little bit? So here's the paragraph I received from my brother back in September of 2013. Some of you may have heard this already. He wrote this: you probably know most of what I can say off the top of my head. Grace Baptist Chapel was formed from two previous congregations, the older Sovereign Grace Baptist Church and Northampton Baptist Church. Both had roots in Baraka Baptist Church, which is still on Todd's Lane. It's not on Todd's Lane now, but it was in 2013. Sovereign Grace Baptist Church was pastored by Charles Taylor, was meeting in the Women's Club building near Newmarket South, which is not there now either. Northampton Baptist Church had been meeting in the old Holloman's Child Care Center in the Women's Club building behind the elementary school on Todd's Lane, which I believe is still there. With the departure of Northampton Baptist Church, Pastor Fred Huebner, most of the Northampton Baptist Church folks migrated to Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. Northampton Baptist Church owned the original plot of land parcel where the Grace Baptist Chapel building now stands. Built when the two bodies united to organize Grace Baptist Chapel, Charles Taylor proposed the name and was the first pastor until he felt compelled to step down. The garage, which is back there, came later under Taylor and housed two Sunday school classes plus grounds equipment. Taylor was followed by Bill Holloway and then Donnie Lockhart before Jack Hamilton became pastor upon retiring from Riverside Baptist Church. The back wing mobile unit, which has been demolished as of a few months ago, was housing the nursery and other classes and was added under Pastor Holloway, the first to have an on-site office and study. The 807 Rogers House, that's the old name for the church house, was purchased under Pastor Hamilton for the purpose of possible eventual expansion. End quote. So I'm thankful to that brother because, quite frankly, there aren't really any among us now who were here at Grace back then. I came to Grace in 2008. The congregation was about 35 people. The church went through a major series on the doctrine of the church in 2009 and 2010. And in 2011, we adopted the new constitution that we have, and that included changing our polity to a plurality of elders. In 2011 and 2012, I gathered several brothers and asked them if they'd be willing to consider being trained for eldership, recognizing that their training may cause them to not want to move forward, or it may cause them to want to move forward, but they still had to be approved by the congregation. I didn't pick the elders, just the trainees. And so they went through months of training, perhaps at times rigorous, and were presented to the church really as a motion from me in keeping with the new constitution, I believe in 2012. The church has continued, as many of you have seen, to grow in numbers, often in military families. And so we often have congregational meetings where one of us stands up here and has to say, we need to send this person to such and such because the military has taken them from us. But we rejoice in the people that God has sent us. In the summer of 2015, the church went through a sermon series on the ordinary means of grace, and that became something that sort of drove how we thought about Lord's Day worship and the primacy of what we do as a people gathered. In 2015, we adopted the current church covenant that we have recited hundreds of times at meetings like this and just did a few moments ago. In 2016, the church adopted the London Baptist Confession of Faith as our statement of faith. We also, in 2016, started our summer pastoral internships, and many of you will remember the brothers that we've had in these roles, Simon, Sam, and of course, twice, Ottavio. In 2017, the church restarted an old tradition that the church had had, but had stopped before I came, of an evening Lord's Day service. So we've had Lord's Day evening services now for about 2.5-3 years. In 2017 or 18, don't exactly remember which, we started having college students from CNU, Christopher Newport University, regularly attend. And in some cases, some of those students went through a theological fellowship with our body, where they studied theology and came morning and evening to our church worship services. We have two of those brothers who are still with us in these days, Joe and Nathan Bracewell. In 2019, the church voted to approve the current building expansion of the two modular buildings, which gives us about 7,000, a little less, square feet. And you see those. Our brother Mickey just talked about them. They are about ready to be occupied by God's grace. So now we're in 2020, and that is a very quick history. What do we see? Well, if numbers matter to any of you, our church averages between 100 to 130 in weekly worship, depending on the week. The modular construction is near completion. And we have over 50, actually, our brother Chad knows a better number than me. I just was thinking this morning how many is over 50 children and teenagers among us. And I think it's more than that. We see a theological desire to continuing to grow in this body. This church has always been a church that loves the Word of God and loves theology. That predates me. But we see many people hungry for various outlets of growing and understanding the Word. One of the things that's really encouraging to me right now is the hospitality that is occurring that you may not know about. And when I say that, I don't mean Mickey and Kim and what they do and their team to serve us in meals on Sundays. I mean the fact that many of you are inviting others of you, COVID notwithstanding, over to your homes. This is occurring en masse. And many of you have been the recipients of the hospitality of others. And I would encourage you, please consider that as one of the chief ministries that the New Testament lays out as this growing sharing of our tables together, whether that's our own home or coffee shops or wherever. That's happening a lot in our body. We're not perfect at it, but it's happening. Many funerals have occurred since 2008. I didn't take the time to list all the funerals that I was aware of, but some of you have been to some of them, and that grieves us. And yet, the Lord is faithful to us and continues to add to our number. However, those that He adds do not take away the grief that we have from those that used to sit here and worship with us who are now with the Lord. We've had several weddings in this very room over the years. In some cases, those weddings have been followed by grieving and praying as couples wrestle to have children. And we've celebrated as we've seen couples move from not having children or losing children and standing in a cemetery together to having them. This is a blessing as we think back on our history. Well, we continue to walk expositorily. I'm not sure if that's a word, expositorily, but I'm going to make it such. We've walked in an expository fashion through various books of the Bible. I was thinking of the books that I think we've covered in the last 12 years. At least Hebrews, Genesis, Romans, 1 Corinthians, Revelation, Mark, Luke, Leviticus, Jonah, 1 Timothy, Titus, and more. And that doesn't include the various brothers who are gifted in teaching who've walked us through books like Proverbs, for instance, and other series. Of course, there are unseen things which I would not necessarily be able to mention. Brothers and sisters who've been reconciled to one another that we don't know anything about nor need to know about. People who've grown in their own sanctification. Children that have been baptized. Children that are professing faith in Christ. evangelism that is happening. We will just say by God's grace that he's doing things that we don't see. And sometimes the elders get to see a lot more of that because people tell us about it. And we can't always just tell you, hey, you won't believe this, but guess what brother so-and-so did? He had the nerve to share the gospel with one of his coworkers and they got saved. You may not always hear those stories, but they're happening. And it's a glorious thing. So much more could be said. Our mercy ministry is continuing. There's service. People are evangelizing. Our prayers on Sunday evenings are increasing in this call to share the gospel. People are caring for one another. We have seen a beautiful glimpse of God's faithfulness. There's a lot that I'm leaving out, perhaps because of my own forgetfulness or because I didn't think about it. But God is at work here. We are not a perfect church. But if I could borrow that phrase, I think on behalf of the elders, in many ways, by God's grace, the state of our church is strong. Now, there's more to be done. In the coming days, we need to pray for our deacons as they serve. We need to pray for our elders as we lead, particularly in this challenging time. We need to pray as well for more elders. Some of you might be thinking, you have two elders. And I can say that the two of us don't feel overworked, but just know it is our desire to see other men be raised up in this body to serve along with us in the coming months and years. But amidst all the things we have to pray for, we can just thank the Lord for all that he's doing. And so if you're new at Grace and you hadn't heard all of that, there's a history here and it's God's history and he's doing a wonderful thing. If you've been here, there's only a few of us in this room that might be able to remember some of these names and some of these things. If you've been with us, even though you know we're not a perfect church, you can walk away from me recounting these things and say, you know, I remember that. And God has been gracious through difficult times and through wonderful times. So as we look at 2020 ending, boy, what a year, and moving into 2021, this imperfect church is held by the perfect Savior. So let us just use today and its brief state of the church to say thank you, Lord, that you were doing a work on Todd's Lane before any of us got here. And if you will, you'll be doing a work on Todd's Lane when none of us, save perhaps some of our children, are still here to see it. And so we thank the Lord for all that he has done.